This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Why can't we get to 82% of the jobs in the Kansas City region by transit? And what are we doing to improve the situation? Find out today on Radioactive Magazine on Transit Talk. I'm Janet Rogers of Transit Action Network. We're a Kansas City regional transit advocacy group fighting for riders, improved and expanded transit, and the cost-effective use of public money for transit. If you want additional information, go to our website at transactionkc.com. Today on Transit Talk, we are looking at the region's response to a 2012 nationwide report the Brookings Institution did, which evaluated 100 cities and the ability to get to work by transit within a 90-minute window. Kansas City came out 94th of 100, and Brookings reported that we can only get to 18% of the jobs in the region within a 90-minute time frame, which most people feels pretty pathetic. Today, I'm starting with an edited clip from a segment I did on May 14th on KKFI show's Tell Somebody about equity issues related to our lack of access to jobs by transit. After that, I will speak with Karen Clausen, Transportation Planner for Mid-America Regional Council, or MARC, and Chuck Ferguson, Chief Planning Officer at KCATA, to discuss how MARC and KCATA are dealing with the situation that was identified by Brookings. Here's the clip. I'm Janet Rogers of Transit Action Network, and I'm talking with Lou Austin, who's chairman of Three Trails Village CID. Both of us are long-term transit advocates in the Kansas City region, and we wanted to bring your attention to some equity issues going on in the region. Mid-America Regional Council is updating its long-term transportation plan. It's called Transportation Outlook 2040. And so it goes out for the next 25 years, but they update it every 5 years. Now, the equity issues that we're interested in are to do with access to jobs. Lou, would you give us some insights into the job access problem?
Janet, the most obvious to me is the recently published Brookings Institute study that showed in Kansas City 82% of the jobs are not accessible by public transit. And to me, that is a very big problem. I've been involved in this for now decades. I know hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent, maybe billions, who knows. But at the end of the day, if 82% of the jobs are not accessible by transit, it indicates to me that we're out of balance.
Definitely. I think we would both agree with this, that one of the most important reasons that people use transit is to get to jobs. And so if you aren't fulfilling that need, then you're hurting everyone in the community, especially the minority and low-income populations who are particularly heavy users of transit. Now, if you look at the maps in the transportation update, you'll see that there's a lot of population and there's a lot of job growth planned for the Johnson County area. And that's also the area that's really causing a lot of this problem with access to jobs, isn't it?
That is a distortion, yes. Johnson County is an economic powerhouse. It's a self-contained in a lot of ways, or it's accessible by the freeway system. My CID is located in the old Bannister Mall area site, and several years ago, we were working very hard to get additional access, transit access, into the Johnson County employment base because it's a function of economic development. It would have benefited us over here to have that connection. We could be a funnel, if you will, for people to have access to employment. What is economic development if people can't earn a reasonable living?
What you're looking at is something like going east-west. Because you were looking along Bannister Road, weren't you?
Bannister is the longest arterial east-west, I believe, south of the Missouri River. It's a primary corridor, and yes, we wanted to run right down Bannister Road. There's thousands and thousands of homes, and to me that made a lot of sense. And sitting here where we are right now, I have been told by the ATA that we have the highest level of bus service of the whole region except downtown Midtown. So from an economic development standpoint, we wanted to leverage that and expand that access west to jobs because they're going to come through us. And when people come through us, that activity creates economic benefits.
One of the things I don't think a lot of people in the community realize is that Johnson County Transit is basically a north-south commuter route. It's mainly taking commuters from Johnson County into the downtown core for those jobs. But there's no real reverse access to get people from either Wyandotte or Jackson County into all the jobs in Johnson County. And a lot of that could be solved by Johnson County having an expansion of their transit system, which would include local transit, like down Bannister.
95th Street.
That's 95th.
Or if you go east, it's Colburn Road.
Yeah, right. It's 95th in Johnson County, but you also have 75th would be good, and there's some other roads down south that would go to a lot of the jobs in Johnson County. And then an expansion in the north-south regions as well. And that's what we're really lacking in this area. Now, there are job growth up north as well that we don't have good access to. And Eastern Jackson County has issues that they might not have as many jobs, but that's where a lot of the people are that are coming over to Johnson County for jobs. So what you have is a whole regional area that is not connected by transit. And as a result, you're getting what we saw in the Brookings Institution report that we have. We came out 94 of 100 in that report in terms of metropolitan areas providing access to jobs. And what I'm seeing in Mark's outlook is no real solution to that. The projects that are planned for the next 25 years do not solve the problem. And so I think that's a major flaw, something that's really missing from our transportation planning. Because if we don't get access to jobs, then economic opportunity for everybody, not just the minority and low-income populations, which the equity section really looks at, it hurts everyone.
From a practical standpoint, it's easy for people who have access by a car and are able to get around to be satisfied with the status quo, and I'm not going to argue with that. From an economic development standpoint, it's one thing to say that 82% of the jobs are not accessible, and then you get into the discussion of the minority and the lower economic portions of our society. Let me just come around from the other side and say, but what does that cost us when people cannot earn an effective living? What is the cost to society? It's easy for us to get in our car and say, I don't need that. I don't want to pay for any of that transit. But we are paying for it. We're paying for it because of the cost that it takes from public funding and others to make up the differential. And transit is an opportunity for people to elevate themselves economically. And to the extent they do that, it benefits everybody. I own a building out here on Bannister Road, and if people have more economic means, maybe one of them comes and rents a space in my building. Maybe more of them can come in the front door and buy things. Transit is like the human body. Everything is interconnected, and it should never be viewed as an issue of, well, it's a road versus a bus versus a trail versus a rail. It all has to work together, and we all benefit if more people can have a higher economic level of sustainability. And that goes along with education and healthcare and everything else. I mean, economic activity is based on human beings. And if human beings have limitations and can't achieve that, then they're going to be a drag overall, and we're all going to end up paying for it, and it's going to compromise the overall standard of living. So that's my philosophical take, if you will, on why this is important.
Well, you know, it's important, too, because if you get better transit for low-income and minority populations, it benefits all of us. I mean, there are some really great jobs out in Johnson County. There are punitive ways to fix this, and there are cooperative ways to fix this. And I think Lou and I would both really like to see the communities come together and find cooperative ways to help build regional transit so we have basic infrastructure so that everyone can reach the opportunities that they need. I'm in the studio and like to welcome Karen and Chuck to the show. I think most people understand that we have pretty good transit service during the day in many areas of the region, such as south of the river in Kansas City and in Kansas City, Kansas, and Independence. We also have commuter services, which mainly run during rush hour from Johnson County and several Missouri cities into downtown Kansas City. I think people also understand that there are huge areas in our region without adequate transit service, but Brookings actually quantified the situation, what makes it next to impossible to ignore any longer. Either people don't have transit close enough to where they live, or jobs don't have transit close enough to deliver workers, or transit services aren't available enough of the day. According to Brookings, people can't get to 82% of the jobs by transit. So first, can we look at what happened over time and why we can't get to those jobs? Chuck, you want to take that?
Certainly. Thank you, Janet. I'm happy to be here, too. We, as a community, expanded significantly from the war in the late 40s, early 50s. And while California is often thought of as a car culture, and the Beach Boys sang all sorts of great songs about the cars in California, really the car culture is rooted in the Midwest and in Kansas City in particular. And we began moving outward from our urban core, meaning that rubber tire technology and cars that became much more prevalent in the 40s and 50s eventually became our primary mode of transportation, often almost singular form of transportation in the metropolitan area. So as the cars took to the roads and roads expanded, people left the urban core both residentially and business-wise, and the development began taking place far from the urban core. So that, coupled with the 60s and 70s flight from the urban core of your middle class and wealthier significant components of the population, led to this donut effect where you had an empty urban core that we've talked about for many, many years in a variety of examples, not just transit, and the jobs fled and the people fled and the wealth fled. So we have continued that in this community for a number of years. We're looking back on that now and wondering if that was wise, of course, but it's done. What's done is done. And so we have been trying to connect people and jobs for a long time. And so when you have somebody that lives out in South Johnson County or Eastern Jackson County, they, of course, would prefer to work in Eastern Jackson County and South Johnson County. And tax support was such that it was much more supportive of a business to build further from the urban core. So that's part of our problem that we still face today.
Yeah, well, Ken, how is Mark attempting to address this problem?
Well, I think one of the first things that we're trying to do is get a better understanding of exactly what Chuck just talked about. We know we have this larger problem of a job kind of transit disconnect in the region, but we don't quite know how to solve it yet. And so Mark will be undertaking a new implementation planning project that we're calling the Ride KC Transit Plan. And we're doing this in partnership with the KCATA, Johnson County Transit, Unified Government Transit, Indy Bus, and the Kansas City Streetcar Authority to look at, you know, addressing these challenges through specific strategies. And we're looking at the entire region, but I think to really get to our goal, which is to double the number of jobs that are accessible by transit in the Kansas City region in the next 10 years, I think we're going to really have to focus in on some of the employment clusters in our region, the corporate woods, as if you will. And so we'll be doing a lot of analysis to understand where employees are coming from in the region and what kind of, you know, trip patterns that they have, so that we can come up with these transit strategies that can meet their needs better than they are today. And we want to look at all modes too. I mean, one of the you know, priorities at Mark is to create a more multimodal system for more people in the region. So we'll be looking at transit, but we'll also be looking at pedestrian connectivity, how transit connects to bikes, because I think that, you know, we can use different modes to string together, you know, possibilities so people can make their work trips and make them more effective. So our end product really is to create a really strategic, aggressive implementation plan that will get us to our goal of doubling the number of access jobs in the region.
So why is it going to take 10 years? I mean, to the average person, that seems like a long time.
Sure. I mean, we set out, you know, with kind of giving ourselves a timeline. And in 10 years, we think it is pretty generous, but not kind of knowing, you know, what the status of job accessibility in the region is, we it's hard to tell exactly what our timeline will be, but we think that some strategies could be as simple as extending a transit route a little bit further so that it reaches an employment population, or we could extend hours on a route to allow more people to ride it throughout the day. But some of our strategies could be a little more intense, like putting a new route down on the street that doesn't currently exist today, and that would require a little more study. It would take a little bit more time. We are very much hoping that doubling access to jobs will be much quicker than 10 years, and that's what we're shooting for.
Well, when you talk about extending routes, in the clip that we played earlier, Lou and I talked about things in Johnson County, like extending Bannister Road out to 95th Street. And in fact, I'd take it all the way out to Oak Park Mall. And you've got 75th Street, College, those kind of extensions. Chuck, what do you think the possibilities of those being kind of short-term solutions?
Well, right now, Janet, that's exactly what we're looking at. The Johnson County Board of County Commissioners are in the midst of their 2017 budget, rather, 2016 expenses and 2016 and 2017 budget. We are looking at a request for additional resources that the county terms RAR, and we have some extensions in mind. One of them is an extension of our 75th Street service that connects right now with the ATA over at Troost. The ATA also comes across 75th Street and then south to the 119th Street, 135th Street area. We are looking at improving and maybe expanding the length of service both to the west, to the community college, through 95th Street and 75th Street, as well as the timing, maybe making a 30-minute headways. So all of those things make sense, and we never want all this to boil down to simply funding. Sometimes, unfortunately, it is. So there has to be a funding increase for us to operate longer service hours and more frequent service, but that's something that we're proposing right now.
So are you talking about in Johnson County that they will go later than 6 o'clock at night? I mean, like right now, if someone wants to get a retail job at Oak Park Mall, they'll never get back to the city using transit if they work until 10 o'clock at night.
That's right. They can't. The only route we have operating right now is our K-10 connector route that operates past 5 at night. It on Monday through Thursday, it runs till 11. And then not quite that late on Fridays. And then it doesn't run on the weekends, of course. We unfortunately have no weekend service in Johnson County. So the root of that right now is that Johnson County has been for a significant amount of time a commuter express-only service, which is Monday through Friday, peak a.m. and peak p.m. So we recognize that if we want to support the retail and restaurant industry in Johnson County, we need to operate service later than that. But like I said a moment ago, it comes down to some funding issues as well.
Well, I think Johnson County opening up their transit system would be a real boon to the community, because that's where an awful lot of the other jobs are too, not just like retail and service, but a lot of the really well-paying office jobs are out in Johnson County, and people can't do a reverse commute from out of the city or out of Jackson County over there by transit.
That's correct. But I want to make very clear here, at least from my perspective, Janet, that the things that we talk about oftentimes and that you and I have talked about over the years and that we're talking about right now is not just a transit problem. We have a development and land use problem in our community, and we're trying to shoehorn transit into a scenario that it was not created for. So we are doing that, and we're doing the best we can. And this plan that Karen outlined is yet another iteration of how we might be able to do that somewhat successfully. But let's not fool ourselves in that just running a route from point A to point B is going to solve some of our work problems. We still have land use problems. We locate sometimes, oftentimes, and have been very far away from the very employment sector you're trying to draw from. And then we do things that further don't support our advances by putting a piece of property far from the street, so you have acres of asphalt parking that you might have to walk across to get to your final destination. So there's a lot of those things that we need to continue to talk about as a community to improve, to make both our employment connections as well as just visitor and any kind of traveler connections better.
Yeah, I know transit riders would really love to have more of the businesses close to the street, maybe put the parking in the back is what they're doing in some cities now, because the parking lot can be any place around the building. But having that building close to the curb makes a huge difference to transit riders. So hopefully some of our land use policies are going to change.
Well, and you have seen some of that change. For instance, the Vision Metcalf plan in Overland Park is more supportive of that. So I think as we see redevelopment of properties at 95th and Metcalf, we're going to see properties that are closer to the street location-wise than we saw in the 70s.
You are listening to Transit Talk on Radioactive Magazine on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. I am Janet Rogers with Transit Action Network. You can find us on transactionkc.com, follow us on Twitter, or like us on Facebook. I am speaking with Karen Clausen, Transportation Planner at Mid-America Regional Council, and Chuck Ferguson, Chief Planning Officer at KCATA. Chuck, what do you want to study in the I-435 corridor? I know that's supposed to be part of this plan.
It is part of the plan. We certainly are going to look at I-435. It's a heavily commuted corridor, both east and west, and even north and south, depending on which segment we're looking at around the metropolitan area. And it's the only segment of interstate that is as heavily used without any sort of transit on it. So we're going to look at connections from point A to point B utilizing the highway. It's really, Janet, just one of the many things we're going to be looking at through this plan. So it certainly is an important component to our plan, but we're not specifying it specifically at this point in time.
Okay, Karen, what do you expect to get out of this? I mean, you say it's an implementation plan, but how is this going to improve access to jobs?
I think that it will improve access to jobs because, I mean, we're going to be able to provide, hopefully through these strategies, better access. So not only kind of connecting transit to where most employees are coming from, and we'll be able to identify gaps kind of on the employment origin side of the trip, but then provide better access to the different jobs. And we're going to be looking at not just your typical kind of 9-to-5 desk job. I think it's important to kind of look at employment across the board. So service industry type of jobs, I think those are going to be really important. And kind of like we've already talked about, we'll be hopefully increasing frequency of transit services, be increasing hours of service throughout the day, and increasing service coverage, so where transit actually exists in the region.
So right now, we don't have a model for how you're going to do this. I mean, you're not going to use the Brookings Institution's methodology, are you? You're going to come up with something new?
Right. I think that, what Brookings did, they created a methodology that they could use across 100 different metropolitan areas. So what we're planning on doing is creating our own methodology that's tailored to the Kansas City region and something that all of our transit partners kind of agree with. And we'll be able to use that methodology for determining how many jobs are being accessed by transit, not only at the beginning of the study, but we'll be able to use it year after year to track our progress, which I think is a really important outcome of this project.
So when you do that, you're probably going to get a different number of jobs we don't have access to, a different percentage, won't you?
Yeah, I think so. And, we'll be looking at, the different variables. And I think we understand pretty well how the Brookings Institution did their own calculations. So we'll be looking at how far a distance out are we looking at. The Brookings Institute looked at the Kansas City region that's larger in size than what we typically think of as the Kansas City region. We'll be looking at 8 counties in the Kansas City region. So you have Wyandotte County, Leavenworth County, Johnson County, maybe Miami County, I think we'll probably include. Then we have, the Northland, Play, and Clatt County, and then Jackson and Cass. So just geography will be a little bit different than what the Brookings report included. So it'll be a little different.
All right. And Chuck, you used to be deputy director of Johnson County Transit, and you already have done a lot of studies out there. There was a smart task force that looked at how you would change Johnson County Transit, as well as there was a strategic plan. So is any of that information going to be used in this?
Oh, well, a lot of that information remains relevant. Those are two big studies, and I hate to use the word study. There are two big plans that we put together for Johnson County. The strategic plan was something we updated regularly, and the START task force was something we created specifically with some community and business leader development and involvement. So there's some good things that have already come out of those two plans. The START development plan was primarily an on-the-street presence. That was the big thing that came out of that. More bus stops, more visible signage, etc. So we began that process before Johnson County Transit moved to ATA management, and that will continue. The strategic update has a lot of great information in it. The strategic plan that we put together on a regular basis had a lot of great information that will fold right into the Ride KC plan that we're talking about right now.
And while we're talking about Ride KC, Karen, you want to remind listeners what Smart Moves was and what's happening to that?
Yeah, sure. So we're talking a lot about sort of the workforce part of transit planning right now. And this is part of a kind of a larger plan, which is the sort of redevelopment of the Smart Moves Regional Transit Vision. And Smart Moves, which I hope a lot of people know about, is a plan that we, or an initiative, I guess, that we've had in the region for almost 20 years now. In one form or another, we've updated it a couple of times since the initiative started. But it really, the regional transit vision called Smart Moves is a plan for how we envision transit in the Kansas City region. So we focus largely on regionally significant corridors in the region, corridors for transit that, you know, cross boundaries. And that's what we're really trying to do is update that and sort of re-envision transit in Kansas City. And we are dropping the Smart Moves name. So Ride KC is our newly adopted regional transit brand. And so we're going to be applying that to this brand as well. So it's going to be called the Ride KC Transit Plan now.
Okay, so if you don't hear about Smart Moves anymore, you'll know why. It didn't disappear. It's changed names. Ride KC, and you're already seeing billboards around town, and there's starting to be buses that are already wrapped with that logo. So that's a big change in the community. I want to thank Karen and Chuck for talking with us today about this important implementation that they're doing in terms of trying to get us to more jobs in the region. We'll be talking to them later, maybe in a year, and find out how we're progressing on that, and hopefully they've already made some short-term changes that really help everybody. I'm Janet Rogers with Transit Action Network, and you can contact me at transactionkc@gmail.com. Although Transit Action Network does not endorse candidates, we are doing our normal online transit forum for the Kansas City, Missouri City election, which takes place on June 23rd. You can go to our website at transactionkc.com and see how the participating candidates answered some hard questions about significant transit issues. Our next transit talk on Radioactive Magazine is July 7th. Thank you.
You have been listening to Radioactive Magazine, a presentation of KKFI 90.1 FM in Kansas City. Radioactive Magazine provides a forum for activist groups and activists in the greater Kansas City area. If you would like to propose interviews, contribute commentaries, event notifications, etc. to Radioactive Magazine, call Dan Connolly at 816-217-5875. Thank you for listening.